this moment, I would like to invite you to close your eyes, and we're going to pray and open the Word of God. Loving Father, we thank you so much. We praise your name at this moment as we come together as a family. This family has just one Father. You are this Father, this compassionate, loving, merciful Father. And we thank you, Lord, because this morning we had the privilege to come before you. You have provided everything we have needed throughout the week, even things that we are not aware of. You have delivered us from so many, oh Lord, dangers. And now we are here. As we come, oh Lord, we come just the way we are, sinners. With our lives made pieces, but we bring you, O Lord, to fix us, to put us together again. We come, O Lord, that you may restore our lives. You may restore our health. You may restore, O Lord, our spiritual life as well. As we open your word, speak to us, Lord, this morning. And may your words bring healing, bring, O Lord, joy, bring hope. And may, O Lord, when we leave this place, may we leave as changed people, ready to show your mercies and your love to everyone around us. I pray, O Lord, for these blessings in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You know, as the song says, this is the most wonderful time of the year, right? There's something about this time of the year. We know for sure that Jesus was not born in December, much less in December 25. But there's something that brings families together, bring friends together, bring, you know, communities in one accord. And that is so good for us as Christians, because this opens so many doors for us to share the love of God to every person around us. If is there a time during the year that you can speak about Jesus, that you can, you know, talk about Jesus, this is the time. People are willing to hear when you say, you know, one day, about 2,000 years ago, our Savior was born. Our Savior was born in Bethlehem, and he came to save us all. You can share that, and people are willing to hear that. You can sing. You can give some literature. You can, you know, invite them home. You can pray for them and with them. And they're willing, because this is the most wonderful time of the year. Although the picture of Jesus is almost forgotten, but somewhere in the hearts of humanity is still that space empty that only Jesus can fill. Only Jesus can occupy. Only Jesus can satisfy. And we have to see the opportunity at this time. You know, the Bible says that when Jesus was born, that was the best time in history for the birth of Jesus. You know, the old world spoke just one language. Which language was that? Do you remember? The Greek. That was the Greek. That was the language that was spoken everywhere. Every person would know and would understand, would be able to speak. Even those who hadn't the opportunity to go to school. But even the simplest people, like the fishermen at the lakeside, they would speak Greek. So God made, you know, a way through language that everybody would be able to receive the good news of the birth of Jesus. As well, God opened a way that in the time of Jesus' birth, the Roman Empire had made roads all through the empire, so travel was much easier. People were able to walk, to ride their horses and the donkeys and go everywhere to share the good news of Jesus. And as well, we had the, I don't know if I'm going to pronounce it correct, but the Pax Romana. The Pax Romana. The Peace of Rome. That's right. I know that it was some kind of forced peace, and you should not disobey the laws because you could end up crucified because that was the way any criminal would end up. But you were able to walk all around the empire and share the love of Jesus. That was a very special moment when Jesus was born. It came at the right time and Jesus was born. And he was able to, you know, come down and become a human being. But have you ever asked yourself, how was, you know, the Father and the Son's conversation in heaven when the time came? Have you ever thought about that? How was the conversation? Son? Yes, Father. The time has come. You need to go. You need to become a human. You need to become a baby and grow up and save the world from their sin. Really? Lord, is now the time? Yes, this is the time. Would Jesus ask, Lord, where am I going to be born? Oh, you're going to be born in Bethlehem. Really? That tiny village? Where am I going to grow up? Oh, you're going to grow up in Nazareth. Nazareth? Wouldn't have a better place for me to be born? In Jerusalem? In the palace of the king? No. It didn't happen that way. Jesus never questioned. Jesus never, he was never afraid in coming into this world and becoming a baby. When the time came, he was eager to come. He was more than willing to come. He was, you know, eager to save each one of us. Even though he looked down and he saw darkness around this earth, he was not afraid. Even though he knew that he would come for his people and his people would reject him, he was willing to come. Although he knew, as a matter of fact, he knew that he was going to be crucified, he was going to be humiliated, he was going to be left alone, to die alone, to the point that he would look up to heaven and say, my Father, why have thou forsaken me? He was willing to come. He was eager to come. Why? Because he has a great love for you and for me. His life was a life full of compassion. His life was a life devoted to service. And I want to come with you at this moment in a very important point in the life of Jesus. Three things that Jesus came to do. And as he was doing, something changed him, or something happened to him. A feeling that we all should have. But the question is, how can we have the same feeling that Jesus had at that moment in his life? Open with me your Bibles. In the book of Matthew, Jesus was not a baby or a young boy anymore. He was already a man, and he started his ministry. And the Word of God in Matthew chapter 9, and we read from verse 32, we find this interesting, powerful description. It says, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Look at that. Matthew chapter 9, and we're going to read from verse 32. That's the verses. Oh, I'm sorry. 35. Yes, 35. I'm sorry about that. Let's read again. Are you there? Okay, let's read it again. "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Wow, the Son of Man, he not only came down from heaven to earth, and he was born here as a humble, a poor little boy, but also he grew up to be a man. And when he was a man and he knew that he was the Messiah, he knew his mission. He came to save. And what he did, he went. He didn't wait. He didn't wait people to come to him and be saved. He didn't, you know, sit down in a throne and say, "I am the king of the universe. I am the king of Israel. If anyone wants to be saved, must come to me." He didn't say that. He said, "I will go and save them." Jesus went where the people were. Jesus went where the sick. Jesus went where the sad, the broken were. You know, that says a lot about our Jesus, about our God. We see it in every page of the Bible, that we have a God that goes. He goes after, you know, the lost human being. He goes after Adam and Eve in the garden where they were hidden from him. He went and he said, "Where are you?" And every page of the Bible, we see that God goes. He never waits for whomever wants to be saved to come to him. He goes. And Jesus, when he was here on earth, the Bible says that he went. And he went about all the cities and villages. What a lesson to each one of us, right? As church, we're waiting for people to come. And we wonder why we don't have as many people coming. We wonder why people are not into, faith anymore. White people are not more about religion. We're about spiritual things. And we wait and we wait and nothing happens. What a lesson to each one of us. If we are Christians, we must imitate, we must follow Jesus, and we must go as well. We must follow Jesus. And if we are followers of Jesus, we will imitate and follow Jesus going as well. And as Jesus went, Jesus did three things. He taught, he preached, and he healed everyone around him. Jesus didn't miss an opportunity. Jesus didn't miss an opportunity with kindness, with love, with, you know, acts of benevolence to each person around him. To the sick, he would give the touch of healing, the healing touch, and restore their health. To the hungry, Jesus would give them food and satisfy their physical need. To the desperate, Jesus would give them comfort. Jesus would embrace them. Jesus would say, I am here. Don't worry. I'll take care of you. To the stranger, Jesus showed hospitality, even when he didn't have a home of himself. But he would be hospitable to everyone. Jesus went teaching. Jesus went teaching. And when we go, we must be able to teach as well. We must be able to share, the good news, the gospel. And you might be thinking, why and how I'm going to be, or how I'm going to teach, what I'm going to teach. You know, there's a powerful thing that you can teach everyone around you. And you know what that is. Just teach them what God has done in your own life. Tell them and show them the mercies of God in your own life. Tell them who you were and what you're now. Share your experience, the transformation that occurs in your life every day. They're going to see that you're not perfect. They will see that you're still a sinner. They will see that you have a lot of, you know, things in your life that needs to be corrected. Don't try to show that you are perfect, because that's not what they are expecting to see. But they're expecting to see broken people being restored by the power of Jesus Christ. They want to see broken sinners that is receiving salvation freely by grace. That's what they are willing to see. They want to see that is still hope for their lives. And when they see you, what Jesus has done in your life, they're going to say, yes, there's still hope for my life as well. Amen. That's what we must go and teach. What Jesus has done in my life. And Jesus preached as well. Jesus had opportunity to preach to large congregations. But let me tell you this. Jesus delivered his, probably the most beautiful sermons Jesus delivered, that he delivered for a congregation of one people, of one person. If you look at the book In the Gospel of John, you're going to see that Jesus meets with Nicodemus. And when Jesus meets with Nicodemus, just both of them is when Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believes in him shall have everlasting life." Jesus didn't wait and expected to say this powerful message from God that everybody knows in their heart, this passage, John 3:16. Jesus preached for one person. And if you turn the page, you're going to see when Jesus meets the woman at the well, Jesus preached to her and he says, "Well, the time has come that God is looking for worshipers, those who truly worship him in spirit and truth." Powerful message just to one person. And that's what we need to do. Just to that person that God puts in front of you. You know that coworker that you look at him and say, "Wow, that person needs Jesus." That neighbor of yours, apparently they have everything. They have a beautiful house. They have beautiful cars. They have a beautiful family. And they might not know, but they also need Jesus. They will only discover that they didn't have everything when you come and present Jesus to them. That's the only way they're going to realize that there was still something missing in their lives. When you and I, when we come personally and present Jesus to them. I want to share with you, Gabby will put some, I want to share with you this impact in my life, some quotations of this beautiful, powerful book, Christian Service. Ellen White says in Christian Service, "Deed as well as words of sympathy are needed." People out there, they need words of sympathy. Not only deeds, but words of sympathy. People are looking for it. And she continues, "Christ prefaced the giving of his message by deeds of love and benevolence." So Jesus didn't come right away and preach the gospel and teach the gospel. He prefaced the giving of his message with deeds of benevolence. He was always preparing a way. He was showing kind acts of kindness. He would always supply the immediate need that everyone had. And we are to imitate Jesus. And she continues, "Let these workers..." She's talking about us. "Let these workers go from house to house, helping where help is needed, and as opportunity offers, telling the story of the cross." You see, when you go with kind deeds, deeds of sympathy. We go in compassion. And when you have the opportunity, when God opens those doors and give you the opportunity, you will share, you will tell the story of the cross. And let me tell you, it's amazing the way God can present to you the opportunity to share the message of the cross. At first, just go to your neighbor. Introduce yourself and tell them that you're happy to have him as your neighbor. And tell him that if he needs anything, your door is always open for them to come and knock on your door. When you have the opportunity, so you buy, let's say, you're helping the Waldwick School with the, you know, fundraising, and you order the oranges, and you can order one extra box. What about that? You order an extra box, and you bring it home, and you go to your neighbor, and you share some orange with him, and say, you know, our school is having this fundraising, and I bought these oranges, but they're too much for my wife and I. We'd like to share some with you. Would you accept them? Acts of kindness. Simple acts of kindness. And she continues saying, oh, let me see, I didn't turn this on. Would you change for me? I mean, Christ is to be their text. Look at this. They need not dwell upon what? Doctrinal what? Subjects. Let them speak of the work and sacrifice of Christ. Let them hold up his righteousness in the lives, in their lives, revealing his purity. Sometimes we want to bring doctrines, and that's not what they're expecting to hear at that moment. Show kindness and talk about Jesus. Like now, it's Christmas. Talk about Jesus. Talk about his birth. Talk about his love. Talk about his infancy, that Jesus was a boy, you know, a teenager. Talk about when he was, you know, baptized. Talk about his miracles. And that he is too in the business of miracles today as well. Talk about the cross. That he died to pay the penalty of our sins. People will be open to hear. Those who engage in house-to-house labor will find opportunities for ministry in many lines. They should pray for the sick and should do all in their power to relieve them from suffering. They should work among the lowly and the poor and the oppressed. Oh, sickness. Yes, a lot of people suffering out there, and they need to hear that there is a better way. God cares when we are sick. God can heal us if we come to him. Many can be reached only through acts of what? Disinterested kindness. When we show this disinterested kindness, many can be reached. Their physical wants must first be what? Relieved. Physical wants must first be relieved as they see evidence of our unselfish love. It will be easier for them to believe in the love of Christ. Isn't that powerful? I don't know if that strikes right, you know, in your heart, because when I read that, it told me, where am I, you know, missing the goal? Disinterested kindness. When they see the evidence of my unselfish love. Wow. So my neighbor is not interested in what I can give him. My neighbor, my friend, is not interested in how much I can give or what I can give or what I can offer. But he is giving out everything out of love. How can someone like him still exist? Right? That's what they're going to say. Because everyone today comes with some type of what? agenda. Someone comes, and as you hear out there, there's no free lunch, right? People call you, and you answer the phone, and they say, "Well, congratulations, Mr. Mark, Miss Sumner, you just won a trip to the Bahamas, everything paid." Perfect timing, right? But then you ask, what's the catch? What's the catch? There is no free lunch. But when you approach your friends, you're going to show that you're not interested in anything but their good. You're showing your kind of kindness because you're doing it out of love for them. Because you want to live compassion. But the question is, how are you going to show compassion? That is when the next verse, verse 36 of the Bible, if you go there back with me, Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 says, "But when he saw Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd." But it says that Jesus was moved with compassion. Jesus was only moved with compassion. Wow, Pastor, look what you're going to say. Jesus was moved with compassion when he went. Jesus was moved with compassion when he was among the multitudes. Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw them, when he looked at their faces, when he saw their needs, when he perceived that they were running to and fro to one place to the other, trying to find some meaning for their lives, trying to find peace, trying to find hope, trying to find wholeness of life, trying to find a purpose for their lives. But they could not find. So Jesus was very close. Jesus was touching them, embracing them, when the Bible says he was moved with compassion. How many times we pray, and I have made this huge mistake, "Lord, give me compassion so I can go. Lord, give me love that I may go and share your love. Lord, please make me a vessel full of compassion and mercy and kindness so I can go and reach others." When we see that Jesus first went, when Jesus was there mingling with people, he was moved with compassion. The lesson that I take it from here and that I want to share with you is this. Do you want to be full of compassion? You must go. Do you want to be a vessel of love, of kindness? You must go. You must mingle with your neighbors. You must mingle with your co-workers. You must mingle with those around you. See their needs. Perceive their physical, their emotional, their spiritual needs. And with acts of kindness, embrace them. You're going to see that compassion will just emerge from inside of you. God will give you this compassion that we need to live by. God will give us this love that we need to live by. God will give us this love for the lost that we need to reach out. But only when we do just like Jesus did, we must go. If we wait, we're going to pray and just be disappointed and say that God does not answer prayers because we're not going. We want to receive the miracle before we go and be with them out there. So I want to appeal, church. You know, the conference has brought the theme for the year, which is live compassion. Compassion is not only to be felt, but compassion is also something to live. But you're not going to live compassion if we all stay here. If we all enter our homes and close the doors and ignore the needs of our neighbors. Compassion is not going to be felt if we just care on our own business in the place where we work and ignore the needs of the people that God is placing right before us. Time is running out. Time is running out. Our opportunities to reach those around us is diminishing by the minute. We never know when the door of opportunity, the door of grace will be shut for those people around us. We never know. We expect that God will send an angel. We'll send someone else. We'll send someone that is more capable, more prepared than we are. And let me tell you, that is not going to happen. God needs you. He wants to send you. He wants to use you where you are. You must just say, "Here I am, send me. Here I am, Lord. I don't know what I can do. I don't know what I'm capable of. I don't know how my neighbor will react. I don't know how my coworker, what they're going to say. I don't know if I'm going to lose that friend because I'm trying to share the gospel of Jesus. But one day, that neighbor, that friend, that coworker will say, thank you. Because you were brave enough to come to me and share the love of Jesus." Concluding, Jesus said to his disciples in verse 37, and then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." Jesus had a great concern when he looked in 2016, almost at the end of that year, just to begin what could be the last day, the last year in history. Jesus looked and said, "The harvest is plentiful. There are many out there. They are ready. The harvest is ready. I just need some laborers to go and harvest. I just need someone who say, Lord, here I am. It's 5 o'clock. We have already almost finished the day to work. It's almost dark. But here I am. Send me into the harvest. Let me make the difference. Jesus is concerned today about this. He's not concerned about if the harvest is ready to receive the message. That's not Jesus' concern today. Jesus' concern is not if people are ready to receive the message. He's concerned if there will be enough laborers to harvest, to work in the field. That is his concern, because the harvest is already there, ready, ripe. He's just waiting for that, for you and for me, to say, I will go and I'll make a difference. I will go and I will work. Lord, show me, where are they? The ripe fruit, where are they? I will go. I'm going and I will find them. The Holy Spirit will enlighten my life, will guide me, will show me the path, and I will find them, and I will share the love of Jesus and show them the way to Jesus Christ. Jesus is saying, pray the Lord. Pray the Lord over the harvest to send out laborers to the harvest. We must start praying today. Brother Jimmy, the prayer ministry must be working as never before to move the church to pray. To move each one of us, young and old, men and women, tall and short, everybody from every nation, every language, we must be praying today. And what should be our prayer? Lord, send laborers to the harvest. But who is this laborer that I should be praying for? I must be praying that God may send me the laborer. Each one of us, when you pray, you must make this prayer very personal. Lord, I have been placed into this building. There are many families living here. You are sending me here to share the word. Send me, O Lord, for the harvest that is already ripe, ready to be harvested. And you will see God will make miracles in your life. God will use you powerfully. God will show you the way. And you know what's going to happen? You are going to live compassion. Just like Jesus, you are going to be moved with compassion. And that will make a difference. And you are not going to be able to stop. But you will go and share with everyone around you. You are going to tell that Jesus was not just born 2,000 years ago, but he died for each one of us to buy our salvation, to grant our eternal life. And once more things, you need to tell them that this Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back soon. And they need to be prepared, and we need to be prepared to meet our Lord in the air. This is my prayer. And I want to see this happening now, today, in our church. What's going to be your decision? What's going to be your prayer throughout the end of this year and next year and next year and until Jesus comes? May God bless you. Amen.